Flight talks to the maintenance schedule that we have of our infrastructure. We are planning to complete at least 70%, which is going to increase over the medium term to 80%, and also maintain our unscheduled maintenance for the first year at 30%, with the intention of reducing it to be at least 20% and below. In terms of dam safety, we're planning to conduct evaluations of our dams and also those that have not to be found to be safe. We are planning to do a rehabilitation, and the targeted dams are included over the medium term, and rehabilitate conveyance systems over the medium term. And finally, in that slide, we have got strategic water users that we supply water to. We are planning to adhere to the water supply agreements at 80% over the medium term. If you go to slide 18, we are talking to the regulatory requirements and prescripts in terms of the National Water Amendment Bill that we're planning to at least submit in Parliament and make sure that it is adopted by law at the end of the medium term period, as well as our National Water Resources Third Edition strategy, which we are planning to implement by the end of the medium term. Development of the raw water charges per financial year, and as mentioned by the minister, finalizing our applications for water use license within the regulated period, whilst we also monitor our water users for compliance against those license conditions. And in instances where there is cases of non-compliance reported, we are planning to investigate at least 80% of those over the medium term. Slide 19, we are talking to other issues, making sure that the water research levy is approved annually. And for this financial year, we are planning to assess wastewater systems in line with the Green Drop regulatory requirements and monitor the wastewater systems against that regulatory requirements. In the subsequent slides, we will be providing the numbers in relating to those Green Drop regulatory requirements. The last activity on that slide talks to the water allocation reform. In terms of finalizing the validation and verification of existing water, lawful water use in water management areas, and those targeted water management areas per medium term are included. If you go to slide 20, this is just an indication of the Green Drop systems that we are targeting. This is just to indicate those that are owned by water services authorities, public works, and also state-owned enterprises and private institutions, and we included the numbers that we're targeting for this financial year. You go to slide 21. It is talking to water resource management institutional arrangements. We're talking to the performance assessment of our entities, as indicated there, the TCTA, Water Research Commission, and the catchment management agencies. Gazetting the establishment of the catchment management agencies over the medium term, and as well as the infrastructure agency, as indicated in the strategic priorities. Also, the transformation of irrigation boards into water user associations, and then those targeted irrigation boards are included over the medium term, and gazetting the establishment of that economic regulator activity by passing the bill and making sure that at least by the end of the term, that bill is for public consultation. Slide 22 talks to the third program of water services management. In this slide, we're talking to prioritizing, finalizing the draft water demand and water conservation management strategies, and also assessing water losses in at least 8 large water supply systems. And we are planning to finalize a no-drop progress report with a complete assessment of the water services authorities in the second financial year. Slide 23, we are talking to the implementation of the regional bulk infrastructure projects. Firstly, we're talking to the completion of feasibility studies of those projects and also completing the implementation readiness studies for those targeted projects over the medium term. In slide 24, we are actually putting the numbers of projects that will be under construction over the medium term for bulk infrastructure, those that are planning to be having completed over the medium term, as the CFO will probably mention in his subsequent slide. We have received additional funding for budget for infrastructure projects, for bulk infrastructure projects over the medium term, and we are indicating those that we plan to complete over the medium term. In terms of the water services infrastructure grant, we are indicating the number of projects that we plan to have under construction and those that we plan to have over completed over the medium term. And as the minister mentioned, the number of intervention projects that we're planning to implement over the medium term and replacing the bucket sanitation informal settlements for this financial year. Slide 25 is just an indication of the projects numbers per province to indicate those that will be under construction for the regional bulk infrastructure per province and completion also within the water services infrastructure grant, the intervention locations, the budget for facility infrastructure projects, those that will be under construction and completed, and the location of those bucket sanitation systems in the Free State and the Northern Cape that we're planning to complete in this financial year. Then slide 26 is an indication of the district municipality reliability plans that we're planning to do over the medium term and also assessing their performance within the water services provision space by us publishing the municipal strategic self-assessment report and the municipal priority action plans for those that did not fare well within the municipal strategic self-assessment. Slide 27, it talks to the water services regulatory prescripts in terms of finalizing the Water Services Amendment Bill and making sure that it is accepted to law by the end of the medium term. The implementation of the Integrated Sanitation Plan and its monitoring as well. The also implementation of the National Fecal Sludge Management Strategy and also development of the bulk water tariffs per financial year. Then on that slide, we are indicating when we are going to be doing the blue drop regulatory requirements, which is in the second financial year, but we are going to be monitoring the water supply systems against their regulatory requirements. Slide 28 is talking to the institutions within the water services space, in terms of us monitoring their performance and also the reconfiguration of the existing water boards. as indicated in that slide, over the medium term. This is just the high-level overview of what is in the annual performance plan of the department. The next subsequent slide, Chairperson, will be relating to the financial performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Babalwa. Chairperson, I'll proceed then with the financing part of the annual performance plan, also to confirm that the department has aligned the budget to the annual performance plan, strategic priorities, as well as the procurement plan for this current financial year. Also, our project implementation plans have also been aligned with the budget as well to make sure that we are able to spend the funds optimally, as also indicated by the minister. So in total, over the MTF, 72 billion has been allocated as indicated in those three two subsequent financial years. And the compensation of employees amount to 5.6 billion over the MTF with all those allocations indicated, and the goods and services as well indicated over the MTF. A significant portion of the allocation for the department, Chairperson, goes towards transfers and subsidies, included in there are allocations to local government, those transfers that you make to local government. And the payments for capital assets, this is where the department is responsible for the implementation of the project in consultation with the beneficiary municipalities. So we transfer the assets after we have constructed those infrastructures. So this is under Schedule 6B of the Division of the Revenue Act. Then on the next slide, slide number 31, as indicated earlier on by my colleague, we also have additional allocations which came through the budget facility for infrastructure. These are the large and strategic interventions, and as per the Treasury guidelines, they also imply that there will be substantial long-term impact on economic growth, social equity, and employment creation. So in those respective provinces where we are implementing this project, starting with the first one for Mahalis Water, they will be implementing the Moretele North, and you also have the second one for Pilanesberg, and also Umkhomazi. There's also a Drakenstein local municipality, and we also have the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Municipality, which is implementing the water security program. Details of those will be made available as we'll be engaging. And the last one on the slide relates to Solplaki local municipality for the integrated bulk supply intervention. Then on slide number 32, Chairperson, the allocation for the current the year that is under review now is 22 billion, and there is an allocation. The allocation is also a split program with a significant portion of the allocation going towards water services management. For the current financial year, it's 15 billion of the total allocation of 22 billion. And then we also have an allocation there for economic certification for the compensation of employees, as well as transfers and the CAPEX allocation. And as indicated earlier on, the total allocation over the MTF is 72 billion. I must also indicate, Chairperson, this is for the vote. We also have the water trading entity, which I will talk to as we proceed with the presentation. The next slide, or slide number 33, is also a split of administration. This is the support program of the department with six sub-programs, ministry up until provincial and international coordination. And also the allocation there for the 23-24 is 2 billion, and over the MTF we have 6.3. Then we can move to slide number 34, water resources management, where we also have our chief directorate that are responsible for macro planning. They are also in this sub-programs. Our transfers to the water trading entity is also part of this program. And the total allocation over the MTF for water resource management is 17.9 billion, and the split for the 8 sub-programs is also indicated, including the economic classification. And the next program, the one that I've indicated that it is taking a significant portion of the department's budget, water services management. Also there we have 7 sub-programs. This is where our grants are housed. We have the regional bulk infrastructure grant as well as water services infrastructure grant. Those are included within this program. So in total for the 23-24 financial year, the allocation is 15.5 billion, and over the MTF, we have a total allocation of 48 billion. And then on slide number 36, as indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that we are responsible for two accounts. The first one is what we normally refer to as the main account, is the vote, the normal departmental account. Then the second one is the water trading entity, which is responsible for the sales of water as well as the operations and maintenance of government infrastructure that is owned by government. The allocation for the 23-24, this is made up of the augmentation, the subsidy from government, as well as recoveries that we make through the sales of water. So there is revenue element in this 18 billion and the 54 billion over the MTF. Then the next slide. This is a summary, Chairperson, of the infrastructure programs of the department, both your regional bulk infrastructure grant as well as the WISDIG. And also we have allocations to the various water boards on slide number 37. The allocations to the various water boards totaling 3 billion, and to the water trading entity as well as the Komati Basin Water Authority, the total allocation there is 3.6 billion. This is just the rearrangement of the information that is contained in the main slides of the department allocation. And then on slide number 38, on the water trading entity, these are some of our key infrastructure projects that we'll be implementing in the 23-24 financial year, and some of them also proceed over the MTF. So in total, we have a budget allocation of 2.3 in the current financial year, and then over the MTF, it's estimated that we will be spending 10.8 billion. Then on slide number 39, this is a summary of the regional bulk infrastructure grant per province. Both the grants that we transfer directly to the municipalities, which is the first part of the slide, as indicated, the grant infrastructure grant schedule 5B. Then the second part of this slide, Chairperson, these are the Schedule 6B, these are the ones where I've indicated that the department is responsible for the second part of this slide, this infrastructure, and after the municipality have certified the invoices, they are submitted also to the department. We are involved with the process, we verify the work with the municipalities, and then we pay. Then as soon as the asset has been constructed, we then assess also the capacity of the municipality to be able to manage that infrastructure, and we transfer it in line with the Public Finance Management Act to the beneficiary municipality. Similarly, on slide number 40, the water services infrastructure grant, there are two components to it, those that we are transferring directly to local government, totaling 3.8 in the current financial year, the 23-24, and over the MTF is 12 billion. Then there are also municipalities where the department would intervene, where we have set aside 805 million in the 23-24 financial year. A significant portion there of this allocation is going towards Limpopo, that is where the Giyani Water Services project, the reticulation component of that project is allocated. So hence, there is that a huge amount in the 478. But there are other municipalities as well. It is not only the Giyani local government, local municipality. We also have all those other district municipalities within the Limpopo province. You will see those as we proceed into the subsequent slides. Then we can move to the water boards. I've already spoken to those without further delay. This is just a summary of all those allocations that we have submitted also to National Treasury from Free State, the Belvedere pipeline, as well as the other projects. And as indicated, we should be able to engage with the committee during the discussions. Then the subsequent slides, I'll also try and provide an overview. Those are more the detailed information per province. So slide number 43, slide number 44 and 45 is the same information that I have presented. It's just now it's summarized to give a global picture of how much is going to a particular province in total. So I've already spoken to those allocations. We can then move to slide number 47. So slide number 47 is the schedule 5 allocations in the Eastern Cape. Again, Chairperson, I will not go into details, but the total allocation there for the Eastern Cape municipality for the 23-24 is 731 million. And we can go to the next slide, which is the Free State Schedule 5B allocation. The allocation there is 208, and then there is also indication of those municipalities in which we have the budget for those specific years. Some of the allocations, especially where we do not have a specific allocation under the direct transfers, you will find those allocations under the indirect allocations. We can move to slide number 49. So KZN as well, the total there is 671. And as you can see, Zululand is 430 million for the 23-24 financial year, with King Kachwai as well at 240. And the other allocations, as I said, they will be reflected in the other schedules. Slide number 50. At number 50, this is the Limpopo allocation. As indicated, this is for Polokwane and local municipality, and the total is 161 million. We can move then to Mpumalanga on slide number 51. So Mpumalanga, the total allocation there, Kertibande is 355, and Kangala is 100, with Tanzania 50, and total is 505 million for 23-24 financial year. Then allocations on slide number 52, those are for the Northern Cape. The Northern Cape, the allocation in total is 196 million, and the specific allocations per municipality are also indicated there, including the benefiting municipality if it's different to the Water Service Authority. We can then move to the next slide, slide number 53. This is Northwest. The total allocation is 340 there. Also indicated there is the Water Service Authority as well as those benefiting municipalities. They are clearly indicated. And as I said, some of the allocations will be on the Schedule 60. This is 5B allocations. We can move to the Western Cape. Total for Western Cape is 680, and most of our allocations in the Western Cape are under direct transfers, hence this amount is also high. We can then move to the next slide. We are done with the first part. Thank you. We are now on the Schedule 6B allocations. This is where I've indicated, Chairperson, that there is close collaboration. We appoint either the municipality or the water board to be the implementing agent, or where applicable, we also appoint directly ourselves as a department. We also have construction unit. So the total allocation for the Eastern Cape is 303, and the allocations per municipalities also reflected there. We can move to slide number 57. Slide number 57. Okay, Free State has quite a lot of project chairpersons, so they proceed from 57. We can move to the next one, to slide number 58. So those are the various projects, and also most of our interventions, as indicated there, like Maludapopung local municipality. This is where the department, through the Bloom Water Board, is intervening, and Huate as well in the outer year is indicated there. So the total for Free State is 714 million that has been allocated in the 23-24 financial year. Then we can move to Gauteng on slide number 59. On Gauteng, Chairperson, a significant allocation of the province is going towards the Vaal River system intervention. This is one of the projects that the department has been involved in. We have put a significant budget there to make sure that we also, in addition to the intervention that we had, we also begin with the capital works there, the main works that need to be implemented by the rainwater. We have also received all the reports from rainwater. There is a progress there. And as we engage later on with the discussions, we should be able to provide the committee with the progress that we have made thus far and the remaining work. Then on Limpopo, slide number 60, we still have work to be done on Giyani. That is the first project there. The Giyani project, as indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that the significant allocation that we had on the other slide had to do with the reticulation component of the work that we are doing in that area. So this now is the regional bulk infrastructure project. So this is the bulk supply that the department is working with Lepelle Northern Water on. Then there are also other allocations in different municipalities. And in total, we have 700 million that we are working with municipalities and our water board to implement those projects in Limpopo. Then slide number 61, we have Mpumalanga. Also, we have various projects in Mpumalanga, and the significant project there is the Law Scope. That is where we have allocated 500 million in the 23-24. My apologies there. It's an error. They shouldn't be 22-23. And in total, the allocation is 820 for the 23-24 financial year. And then Northern Cape, the total for Northern Cape on slide number 62, we have allocated under Schedule 6D, the 54 million for the Northern Cape for those two projects, the one under David Craper local municipality and Maharing local municipality. And then back to Northwest under the allocation where we construct the infrastructure on behalf of those municipalities, we have 247 million allocated there. And as indicated on slide number 63, a significant portion of that is going towards a Madibeng local municipality. So that is the 134 in the 2023-24 financial year. Then the last allocation under the 6B, we can go to slide 64, is the Ciderberg local municipality, where we have 15 million. As indicated earlier on, most of the allocations for the province are under direct transfers. Then the last section of the presentation, we can go to slide number 66. So the total there for the Eastern Cape under WISIC Schedule 5B is 516, as indicated there, the different municipalities are clearly identified them. And then Free State, on slide number 67, Chairperson, we have under Schedule 5B allocated a total of 374 million, and the breakdown of all those benefiting municipalities is also indicated on slide number 67. Then we can go to Gauteng on slide number 68. Gauteng, we have Sidibeng municipalities as well as the West Rand municipalities, and the total allocation there for WISIC Schedule 5D is 194 million for 23-24 financial year. Again, on slide number 69, KwaZulu-Natal, Chairperson, a significant portion of the allocation is also under Schedule 5B. This is where the monitoring of the transfers is important for the department, where we are transferring directly to municipalities. So the total there for all the municipalities is 940 million for the 23-24, and the outer years are also indicated. Similarly, for Limpopo, on slide number 70, we have the allocations totaling 470 million. And from Mopani to Skukune, there they are indications of allocations. Then also in Mpumalanga, there's significant allocation to the municipalities, various municipalities at 483 million that we have allocated for those various municipalities. And the MTF allocations are also reflected there. The other allocations on slide number 72 relates to Northern Cape, where we have indicated those various municipalities. The total there is 330 million that has been set aside for the municipalities within the Northern Cape, and the beneficiary municipalities are also listed on the slide, on slide number 72. Then back to Northwest again, on slide number 73, these are the allocations for water services infrastructure grant. Uyanala, there is 190, and Dr. Ruth, there is 100, Kenneth Kaunda is 118. So in total, we have 408 million that has been set aside for or allocated for the municipalities in the Northwest province. Then the last slide, Chairperson, is now the Western Cape. Again, we have 143 million that has been allocated for those various municipalities. And then in total, the national allocation is 3.8 billion for the water services infrastructure grant. And this is the summary, Chairperson, of the allocations. I think also Minister indicated the work that we need to do to ensure that all these funds are utilized by the municipalities for the intended purposes. And we have put in place those systems in place, and Minister indicated our continuous involvement with the municipalities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think it was quite clear. Honorable Deputy Minister Judith, any point that you want to emphasize, or any word from you? Is the Deputy Minister not on the platform?
Yeah, I was saying, Chair.
I'm on the platform.
Yes, I said after the presentation, you might want to say something. Before we start with the questions, I'm taking with you.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, thank you so much. I think the apology Chairperson of the GM Masolo, I know that he's having engagement with the community in Limpopo. But let me thank yourself, Chair, and members of Parliament on the platform, including the department on the presentation.
Just wait a bit. Honorable Smith. Can we just switch off your mic? Yes. You can proceed.
Thank you so much. Honorable Tetovu, I think for us here as the department, really, I would like to highlight, like the minister would have said when he started, that the department is coming from a very difficult past and trying to rekindle and ensure there is service to the people, part of which there is some highlights that I think that we need to take away, the remarkable initiatives and the great strides really undertaken by the department in resolving the water and sanitation challenges faced obviously by our people. And I think the annual performance plan of 23-24 financial year, there has been made a significant progress in addressing some of the challenges. And I think for our side really is to ask and request to the SIDOT committee to really support this financial performance, but also what we're looking to do, including the implementation of infrastructure, the development projects, to ensure that we give the reliable and equitable water supply. And I think that on issues of wastewater management and pollution control, really the enhancement of the wastewater treatment systems, reducing the occurrence of sewage spillages remains our commitment, really strengthening and monitoring mechanism to detect and respond to pollution incidents swiftly, including implementation of comprehensive pollution control in the measures stricter and give stricter regulations and public awareness. I think it's quite important that we need to partner with the public and have a really social compact with the role players to make sure the issues of pollution, we're able to assist each other as we move along. But there's a number of projects, I think the interventions that really have been made by the department, the under expenditure chair, we are also bringing to yourself. It's not something that we are proud of. We are really committed and we're pushing the department to say, come the next financial year, we don't want to have under expenditure at this point. So that is something that we would have highlighted, and we emerged from the MINExco and that we had with the language that says that we can't afford to have under expenditure with this important department. But the issues of load shedding, shepherding, the impact that to deliver on, so that we're able to find a solution together. You're able to understand that when there is load shedding, it really impacts on the water and the pumping and so forth. But expenditure on the infrastructure, the CFO has touched on, the issues of community inclusion and gender empowerment in the sector is also critical for us to also look into. And if you check into our presentation, it touches all those number of matters that we have doing, we are trying to do very well to make sure the matters of empowerment, gender participation in the mainstream, but the transformation as well as the water rights and the legal impediments. I think our initiatives in so far, not initiatives necessarily, but the amendments that we're looking to be doing through the Water Act will definitely go a long way in terms of unlocking these challenges that we are having, so that we ensure there is access to water, but people have the water rights, who are able to attend to it. You would have noted the value interventions and the payment of service providers within a speculated time. It's also what the Office of the CFO has mentioned that they have been able to deal with adequately. I will wait to hand over your meeting to yourself and obviously get the interaction and the discussions, and the department will also be able to separate and do whatever the questions that need to be responded to. So I'm in your leisure, Chairperson. But thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Pia, for that. We have, I think, sufficient time to engage with the presentation. This is an important presentation, and it's always good to afford members more time to do so. Members know the procedure. I give one member an opportunity about 10 minutes to engage If it's 5, it's okay. If it's 3 minutes, it's okay. But at the maximum, it's 10 minutes to engage. And once a member has asked questions, I afford you an opportunity to respond and I go to another member. That helps. And it makes us certain that we've covered all the ground and members would not repeat what others have posed before them. Over to you, honorable members. I'll start with Honorable Smith, followed by Honorable Dlamini. Yeah, let me take the first.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, am I audible?
Yes, you are, very much so.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chairperson, the first question I want to direct to the minister, I see the minister is still on, which I'm glad for, is in terms of the issue of the Lepele North water board at Mogalakwena at the during dry dam. I have written some letters to his predecessors as well as when he started off. And I am still awaiting a response on that. It is regarding the problem of the electricity supply to Lepele water and with the load shedding also escalating the problem even more. And my question is, when are you going to make sure that water pumping and processing station either gets off the grid or get an alternative power supply to that, because that line that is going towards during dry dam hasn't been maintained for over 30 years, and there's constantly no electricity, and because of that, the town of Mokopani and the surrounding areas of Mokolaring and so forth don't have water because of that problem. There is a generator, but it doesn't have the capacity to pump the necessary water. So there's, on a daily basis, there's water shedding taking place in the town of Mokopani and the surroundings. The second question I have is in terms of the sewer spillages, again, in Mogalakwena, in the Dorps River, and in the Rooisloot. Which has been going on for years. We got the Minister of Environmental Affairs to intervene by sending some of her officials. They opened criminal cases. I've opened criminal cases. Those dockets disappeared, and there's still nothing being done. This is years ongoing. If you go there now, you cannot live next to that river, and those poor communities who are staying next to those rivers are breathing in that horrible smell on a daily basis. So when is the department going to intervene to make sure that that problem is solved? My third question would be regarding the status of the Flagbushelo water project from the Flagbushelo Dam to the border of Mogalakwena to supply that, because that will solve a whole lot of problems regarding the capacity of that town to supply the surrounding mines that is waiting for water supply to create jobs and opportunities for the people of Mogalakwena and surrounding. Then my fourth question would be regarding the pipeline to Makadu. That has been redone 3 or 4 times now, each time a new line being laying next to the next. When will that be solved, and who has been kept accountable for that mismanagement of funds where those communities still don't have water after all those money was spent on those bulk infrastructure programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Smith. Over to you, Minister. If you are still on the platform and you would like to respond to the questions, you can do that. But if not, Over to you, Deputy Minister, and the team. Respond to those questions.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
The meeting is not yet started. Thanks, DM. Let me just deal with Lepelle and Mkhalakwena. I will search for the letter that you are speaking about, the Honorable Member is speaking about. I'm not aware of that letter. That letter being brought to me for my attention, but I'll check it. Number two, with regard to electricity supply, well, it is common cause that electricity supply is disruptive of water services and the flow of generally of water to households and to businesses and to everybody, and that is very regrettable. But what we've done is engage and the electricity entity Eskom in order to mitigate at different levels in different places for the electricity source. Electricity supply. Now, we haven't had the problem of Mokopane being brought to our attention over and above teething problems of electricity on an ongoing basis. But it looks like the Honorable Member is pointing to something that is ongoing, that has never been attended to or ratified with regard to Mokopane electricity supply to water supply lines in that area. And we will therefore have to check what is happening. The third issue is sewer spillage in the very same Mokopane. I must say that once more, I'm not particularly aware traveling sewer spillage. We've gone to Mokopane a few times, especially piecing together and putting together the agreement between Mokopane itself and a private mining company there for a wastewater treatment plant, which we did successfully last year, and the project that is underway currently, and we are not aware of. I would assume that the Honourable Member may be referring to generally the problem that has been there for years, which will be addressed once and for all once the wastewater treatment plant is in operation, which is being attended to currently. But other than that, we are under the impression that the municipality is coping with the existing effort on their side and capacity on their side. But they haven't indicated to us that there's something beyond them, which would have made us seek an intervention. We will follow up on this because we are becoming aware for the first time. The Flatbush Yellow, we are in agreement with a number of mining companies and the Water Use Association called Libalelo. There are 14 of them. Flatbush Yellow falls on the western wing of the supply line, as you were talking about, that you were talking about, to the mines, but also to the households. It's part of our
agreement with Lebalelo, basically taking water from the Diwom and then Flag Boshielo in the west. We will supply mines and 96 households in that line around Mogalakwena going to Lephalele. So this is a 5-year a plan that is contained in the agreement. And it has started. It started with a water pump station being built on the date when we launched this agreement on the 27th of October last year, and we started building a first project of the agreement, which is the pump station close to where we're launching it in the Sikukun area. But other than that, we are planning to have a meeting now that 6 months have elapsed since the agreement was done. It's a 24 billion project. We now need to meet to check progress that Lebalelo has made in the last 6 months. That meeting will be soon, and in the next meeting we should be able to identify update the honorable members in terms of progress on each of the projects that are under identified under our agreement with Lebalelo. And then the last one is the pipeline of Makado. I would want I'm with DDG DDG of Water and Sanitation here, DDG Resimati. I would want him to answer directly on Makado and any other thing that he can add to DDG Water and Sanitation the site. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. The issue I want to just give clarity on is what the honourable member has raised. With regard to Makado pipeline. This is the pipe that basically takes water from Nandoni in Wembe district, and then it takes clean water all the way up to Makado. It's called the Kutama Santumule pipeline. That pipeline is under construction. We are sitting at 90% of completion of that project. And the details is that by December this year, that line should be completed. We have already been proposing to the minister to do a site visit on this line later in the year to measure the progress on the project in terms of its oversight in most of its intervention. So that pipeline is sitting at 90%. It should be completed by December this year. It's taking water from Nandoni all the way up to Makado. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry. So, thank you very much. Honorable Smith, you are covered. You're okay. Thank you very much.
Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable
Chairperson.
Okay,
Smith. Jefferson, I just want to say that I will now forward that letter that I've sent back already months ago. I'll send it through the secretary to the department to make sure that the minister actually receive it this time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much as well. If you don't mind, you can also CC me the letter. I will also CC making sure that it is followed up appropriately, but
Thank you,
minister will do so. Will respond as soon as it gets to his attention. Honorable Mbali Dlamini.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just to ask the minister on what is the current status of the cases that the SIU was investigating with regards to the Giani bulk water project. And if those officials that were being investigated currently, what is their current status? Are they still working within the department So what is happening with regards to those cases? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Straight to the point, Honourable Minister.
May I ask DTG Fundagubi to respond to this one, but at the same time, may I also ask to leave and leave everything to Deputy Minister Judy Shabalala and the delegation of officials to deal with the rest. Thank you very much. But this question will be answered by Fundagubi. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for showing up to the meeting. I was going to thank you very much in respect of the work that you do in the Northwest, but I'll do so when my time comes, asking questions. But nevertheless, it's okay. Thank you very much. The next question.
Good morning, members, and Minister and DM. Just to respond on the issue of the SIU matter in regarding to Lepelle, the case is now at the court stage, and the affected colleague which was the chief executive of Lepelle was charged with the transgression, and some of the members in officials in Lepelle were dismissed. At this stage, the SIU has issued the summons to the High Court, and the civil litigation action was set aside on the contract that was implemented by the LTE. And the matter was set down for the hearing on last year, October, at the Polokwane High Court. However, the matter has been postponed due to the readiness of the company involved. So that's where we are in the matter of the SIU with the Lepelle. Thanks, members.
Thank you very much. The next one is Honorable Sheikh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Let me also thank the department for the presentation, which I thought was quite comprehensive. Chairperson, I just have a few issues. Firstly, I think with regard to the support that is provided by the department in terms of trying to assist municipalities with regard to reticulation to villages, as the minister had also indicated what was happening in Giani, as well as probably in other municipalities as well. Chairperson, I think perhaps for the purposes of oversight as a committee as well, which we should also be told in terms of which other municipalities are being assisted with regard to reticulation to villages, because obviously the fact that they need that kind of assistance would also imply that there are other underlying problems in that municipality. Secondly, Chair, the issue of water service authorities. I would want to know from the department whether they actually do some kind of assessment of the water service authorities themselves in terms of functionality and capacity to do that, or does that lie with provincial government? But just in terms of what comes out in the budget and APP in the MTF with regard to the water service authorities that are being assessed for compliance with the requirements of the no-drop regulatory program. Can we get an indication whether all water service authorities have been assessed in this regard, and what has come out of this assessment? What has been the findings of this assessment. Okay, and thirdly, Chairperson, with regard to the bucket sanitation backlog system in formal settlements, which are to be replaced, the target of 10,798 and the expectation that by the end of this financial year, this matter will be addressed, which I think is positive, Chair, and especially in relation to dignity of people. But what I would want to know is how is it being addressed and what is replacing the system, given the fact that I think in both the Free State and possibly the Northern Cape, there are sanitation backlogs. Thanks. That's from me.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Responses?
CFO, can you take the questions, please, specifically on issues of APP and budget? We thank Honorable Sheikh, thank for very important questions that she has asked. If you can just respond there. The water services assessment as well, if we can come in there as well. The settlement and replacing, you've heard the question. But what's the first question on other municipalities that we are assisting with reticulation? I think DTG Rasmati, if you can come in there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, DM. Let me start with the capacity of municipalities, and then I will then hand over on the APP targets to my colleague, Baba Alua, and then on assessment of the Water Service Authority, DM, if you allow, also, I saw DPG Zwane is in the meeting. And then on bucket eradication, we also have the provincial heads, so they can also respond to that. The assessment of municipalities, Chairperson, in terms of our responsibilities, where we work with municipalities to implement projects, there is a process that we have to assess whether they have the necessary capacity, manpower, those technical skills to be able to carry out any of the work that is being assigned to them. If we reflect, for example, on the Kiani, the Mopani District Municipality, we have taken a decision as a department to implement those projects through indirect allocations. We have assessed the capacity and we have also identified where there are needs. We work very close with the chief financial officer of the department of the municipality to ensure that they adhere to supply chain processes. Also on the technical side, we do have our provincial office of the Department of Water and Sanitation, who work very close with the technical units of the municipality. So, in relation to the work that we would assign to those municipalities, there is certainly a process that we do to establish the capacity of that implementing agent to be able to carry out whatever assignment that is being dealt with. The other assessments that would be done, probably, Chairperson, I'm sure my colleagues will add, those will normally be done through the COCTAM department. May I ask Barbara to come in on the APP, and then I'll also ask the provincial heads to come on the bucket eradication, what we are doing to replace those targets that we have, the 10,000 there. And then DG Zwane, please also assist on the assessment of water service authorities. Barbara. Chairperson, I think this is a challenge with my colleague there. We'll come back to that one. Can we then proceed to the bucket eradication? If you can assist there, and Dr. Ntili.
Good. Thank you, CFO. Good morning, honorable members. Yes, in the Northern Cape, we do have a target set for bucket eradication, and this is in the area of Campbell under the Sianuma local municipality. And we, in the previous financial year, we had plans to approve the nature of the technology that we will be using in the area. So there was a lot of consultation that we were doing with the affected communities and the municipality to get the acceptance of the technology. Reason being that waterborne sanitation would not be feasible at this stage, as the municipality would need to do some upgrades to their bulk infrastructure. Safe to say, in the current financial year, we've allocated funding so that we can go for the implementation then of the alternative low flush system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Ntili.
Thank you, CFO. With the bucket eradication currently, we are dealing with Sotho as well as Ngetwana, including Tukulu. And we have appointed contractors to actually eradicate the 10,000 buckets, which we are anticipating to complete in this financial year.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sheikh, are you okay, or you want to do some follow-ups?
Chair, I think it's just regard to, I think the same with regard to the assessment of citizens authorities, the person that needs to respond may have a problem with that. Get that in writing, please. Thank you.
All right. Maybe let's check if DTG is on it. Do you have a problem? And if it's not here, who can take that question?
I am here. Yes.
Okay, please talk to the question. The question is about us being in a position to assist with the issue of the water services.
Thank you, DM. In terms of the assessments that we conduct as a department, I think we've got these three programs which we refer them to as the drops. The green drops, which looks to the issues of the wastewater treatment works of the municipalities, where we evaluate their capacity in terms of compliance with norms and standards. And then we also have the blue drop, which looks then into their water supply, the qualities of water supply for drinking in terms of the science 241 standard, Chair. And then the issue of the no drop, where we are looking at the water use efficiency. These are our annual programs, which the last report that we had was on the green drop, which was released by the minister last year in March, where there were findings and which we have been assisting the municipalities in dealing with those findings. First, what we do where those which meet the minimum standard or which falls below the 30%, we send them letters where we request them to provide corrective action plans. And then once we evaluate the action plans, we note whether the action plans are, do they meet the standards that we require members. And then from the report that we have, we received far less responses from the municipalities. If you look at the summary of results, 62% of submitted action plans were addressing the five key performance areas for green drops, and then 62% of submitted action plans, they have been able to reprioritize, and they've also been able to reroute funding and mobilize specialist resources to implement the corrective action plans. But in terms of nationally, we had about 172, which is about 51% of critical state systems, which we have received regulatory and enforcement actions, which means that we had to issue notices and directives to them And in some of them, we have issued criminal charges because of the persistence, non-compliance. With regard to the Northrop report, there has been a vast increase in terms of the losses members. If I can summarize, there is a notable increase of 1.3%. And also in terms of the national standard per capita consumption, it's now ranging between 212 and 217 liters per capita per day, which means that there has been a deterioration of about 6.4% from the last report. Thank you, DM.
Over to you.
No problem. All right, thank you very much. The next member is Honorable Baden-Horst.
Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity, and to the panel, thank you for the presentation. Chair, thank you. I just want to ask a few questions regarding the strategic priorities of the department, and then I'd like to end with a very specific question turning to the Western Cape, if I may. Chair, the first question is, I note that there was some protests in Makanda yesterday due to water outages. How many municipalities are at the moment dysfunctional with regards to water reticulation and sanitation services? Do the department know? And what are we doing specifically to assist those municipalities? My next question would be, I note that one of the strategic priorities is to increase participation of the private sector with regards to financing and skills in the water section. Could that just broadly indicate to us what that entails? Then with regards to the improving of water use licenses, the turnaround time specifically, would we be able to get a report back per province on those water use licenses that might be useful to us? I also note that there's a move to transform the irrigation boards into water use associations. I'd just like to know why don't we consider, the department consider delegating that function to provinces? Because that would, in my opinion, be more effective. And then my last question, if I may, in conclusion, is very specific to the Western Cape. The raising of the Clan William Dam wall was meant to be completed in 2018. And we know how urgent this project should be, because it effectively is going to supply 15,000 jobs out of irrigation farms that would be enabled by the raising of this dam wall. The fact of the matter is that this project has been marred with various inefficiencies and problems. My question to the department would be, considering how urgent this raising of this dam wall is in the economy of this area, what is being done to fast track this project and to finally conclude it? Because we certainly can't wait another 5 years for this wall to be raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Baden-Horst. Answers, please.
Chair, please allow me to answer the questions. If the CFO is the person leading the department today, then he immediately steps in, and I think colleagues are listening so that he's able to allocate and the persons who are supposed to speak. CFO, please facilitate.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, President DM. On the Makanda question, DM, I'll ask our provincial head for Eastern Cape to come on that one. I was Poshia, and then William Donald Manas is in the meeting, our DDG for infrastructure, and then Water Use Associations. We also have DDG Lusenga, or I'll talk with Ms. Sigwaza, and I'll talk also to the private sector finance. Let me hand over to Osposhia Makanya to talk to the Makanda question, and then Donald will come in.
Thank you, CFO. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, PM. At Makanda, the issue of water challenges currently experienced, first of all, we know that Makanda has been hit by drought, and it is currently slightly recovering from that. However, there are two systems. One is getting water from the Orange River government scheme, and it is through the eastern side of Makanda, where a treatment plant called James Glen Hans is under upgrade. There's currently 10 to 12 megaliters pushed through that system, and that system is much more reliable, but because of the demand, it is currently not satisfying the needs of the whole of Makanda. It is being upgraded currently from 10 to 20 megaliters per day, and that 20 megaliters is to be available in June this year, and with all other associated infrastructure being completed by end of the year. But additional 10 megaliters will be added in June, and the current crisis that we are facing is going to be addressed. On the western side, that is where the drought has specifically hit. But currently, there has been some operational challenges that is, and I think that is where the current noise is, because that system is actually servicing or supplying 7 megaliters. And I must state that the demand at Makanda is 18 megaliters per day. So we're getting a reliable 12 megaliters, the most from the James Glen Hans, and the western side is currently off. And Amatola Water has been brought in, working with a team tirelessly trying to work on a technical problem regarding the suction valve that is not taking enough water to the treatment plant on that western side. The teams are on site, and we are hoping that that problem will be resolved. With that problem being resolved, we will have a relief of the current supply. And I think that is where the most noise is coming in. Because of the James Glen Hans limited supply, there is now a forced kind of rationing of water, so that everyone gets to get the water equally. So water would be switched off for a day or two, so that all reservoirs can raise and then released for everyone when the reservoirs are full. But the matters are known and the matters are being addressed, honorable members, and thank you, DM.
Yeah, thank you very much,
Yes,
may I request my colleague, Leonardo Manas, to talk to Ken William, and also the work that you are doing with the mining houses, as well as Lebanon Hotels Association, in relation to the private sector financing question from the honorable member. Leonardo Manas.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CFO. And DM, I just, honorable Chair and honorable members, in terms of the Glen William Dam project, we concur that there were some inefficiencies and problems as quoted with regards to the delay of the Glen William Dam. And these inefficiencies emanated from the implementation model that was changed a couple of times. But there was a decision made by the minister regarding the implementation of the dam, and we are working towards that. And at this point in time, yes, the procurement processes were the major stumbling block in this regard of not rushing into it as we wanted to. However, we have a new procurement strategy that is being followed. And on the one side, we have at this point in time, 6 of the major bids already being awarded, which actually means that we are now ready to play, to sign agreements and award and obviously to place orders, for that matter, to start. So starting is imminent at this point in time. And we are ready to actually start with this project. However, before I get to that, however, I also want to say, in addition to that, rather, we are also implementing the new procurement strategy that will help us for the duration of this project, because obviously this is a project that will see us through to 2028. So for the duration of this project, we are putting in place a framework agreement contract as well to ensure that we can minimize the procurement activity at this project, so that the delays can be eliminated. Some of the problems as we have as well that exacerbate the whole situation of delay would also mean be because of legal matters that we are also have to tend to. Due to some of the excess that the department can't attend to on the immediate site, on the construction site, because of adjacent property owners. But that we hope, and we are confident that we will deal with that very soon, so that this will not be disturbing the critical path as far as this project is concerned. In terms of the private sector engagements, the department has also engaged at this point in time at least three a major project that is currently we are negotiating agreements with. The minister mentioned earlier with regards to the mining houses in the Olifants side as well as in the Mogalakwena side, that we are implementing that project with a 50-50% agreement with the private sector, the mining houses there. So that agreement was already signed. We came to an agreement with the mining houses in the Northern Cape as well. The agreement is being finalized and would be signed soon. And that one, it's a 56% contribution from the private sector with a 44% contribution from the national government. And to see that a project also being implemented in a collaboration with the private sector. And then one that we're currently exploring at this point in time would be with the agricultural sector in the area of Farlots, which is in Jan Kemdorp, Artsbarter area, also in the Northern Cape. There are others that we are considering as well, but we are making progress on all of these to also see how we can save and also the funding, the fiscus from that's already strained, but also then to have this collaboration and also to see how we can address an issue of mutual growth as well with regards to the implementation of mega or large projects. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't see any hand on the platform.
Okay, if I may.
It's my turn. All right. Are you okay, Honorable?
No, just two questions I didn't notice answers to was the turnaround times on the water use licenses, whether we can get report back from provinces specifically, and then the transformation of the water irrigation boards, if we can get into water use associations, if we can get feedback why that function can't be delegated to provinces directly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the water use license turnaround time, as we all know, the president declared that we need to process all licenses within a 90-day period, which we started from last year with a backlog of about 1,000 files. By end of June this year, we had eradicated that backlog. But we also had targets for each region. By the end of the financial year last year, we were left with only about 50 applications that we need to achieve this year, which were backlogged from the last financial year. Chair, the status will vary from each region to each region, depending on the nature of licenses and also the issues of capacity. Some regions are dealing with integrated licenses, which include mining. So you'll find that those there might be some challenges there, or the turnaround time might be slightly above the 90-day period. But we have implemented improvements, like where we have revised our business processes, and we have also advertised positions for all the regions, which we hope that by June we will have filled all those positions, and then there will be improvement. But currently, overall, we are finalizing all licenses with 70% of the target that we are achieving at this stage. But we are looking at going towards 100%, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for that. Let me chip in as well. Firstly, I want to welcome the presentation, especially when it clearly outlines the objectives and intentions of the department during this financial year. What makes me happy is the fact that the department under the leadership of Minister Nkululu and his deputies, they have worked very hard to ensure that the boards are reconfigured. We all know the problems that were characterizing these boards. Oftentimes they were dissolved, replaced, court issues, all litigations and all of that. And it's quite clear that the process is now becoming normal. Two is the fact that most of the critical positions have been filled, as the minister and the presentation indicated, which is very, very happy. The other time I remarked that this department was like a Hollywood. Everybody was acting, and most of the senior management in the department was under suspension. And any organization to function meaningfully, effectively, and to achieve its objectives, it must have stability. And filling up vacant positions at critical levels, including senior management, is very much important. We are happy about that, and that is really commendable. I'm saying this deliberately because this department was a problematic department. It was a department in crisis some years back. It was always in the media for the wrong reasons, especially reasons which border on allegations of corruption, mismanagement, under-expenditure, and all of that. And just getting it right, it clearly inspires confidence, and it can help the department to achieve its own intended objectives. And that is very much important. What I'm not happy about, it is this under-expenditure. You can't be happy if the department underspends, especially given the crisis of water that the country is facing. There is no justification politically, morally, and otherwise why the department is not spending as it should. And we are not told exactly why we are not spending. I heard the deputy minister saying COVID and what, but for me, that's not enough. You need to tell us, where are the blockages? Why are you not spending the money that is allocated to you? What are the bottlenecks? We need to know, because I'm raising this point because in the past, this was one of the key problems of the department. And I would be worried if it can recur or it can start again, that you are not spending in the midst of the crisis that the country is facing. And this presentation just scratches this matter as a by the way issue. We are not spending, we want to do something, and we are not told what is it that you want to do, and you are not telling us what are the causes of this under expenditure. And I would like you to respond to that particular question. Now, this also applies to the issues which were the historical issues that we know about the department itself. And this presentation doesn't tell us in precision how you are going to address these particular problems. We know that there were, and when this department got a disclaimer, opinion, or what, there were systemic issues
especially around the Giani water project, which was really, really scandalous. But there were other issues, the UIF and W issues, and you are not telling us exactly how you are going to tackle this particular issue. The presentation just says we want to ensure that 90% of this is covered, but I would be concerned as a member of parliament sitting here, because we've dealt with these issues in the past, and then there are those sensitivities that we want to be at the comfort zone that you are dealing with them. There were problems around a program called War on Leaks. It had accumulated a lot of expenditure, and there was actually an over expenditure on that project. This presentation will say, yes, we have this, we are solving it, and this is how we are solving it. That also applies to the contingency liabilities. Contingency liabilities were about the litigations that were occurring, and they were amounting to millions. And they were not told how this have been dealt with, and the situation has subsided, and this is how we are moving forward now on. There was another issue. The issue was about the accruals. At some point, we were told that these accruals were also affecting the WTE, the water trading company entity, and then the department. And it was a lot of money about accruals. And then the department was unable to pay for that. And for me, with all of this, the historical problems accumulated over the years, we need to get a sense as members of parliament that you are hands-on and you are dealing with these particular issues. Now, Honorable Mbali asked a question, and she wanted to know about the Giani project. It was not only the Giani project that was infested with all allegations of corruption and was not. There was actually a package out of the department. And sitting here listening to you saying, now we are dealing with them, the cases are very slow, and we are not told why. Why are they slow? People have stolen the public funds, they have pillaged the resources that are meant to provide water, a basic need to the people. And that explanation must be very clear in terms of how we have dealt with those particular people. There were lots of cases, again, I can put it to you that there were a lot of cases of this department, and it can't be that out of all the cases, today we are told that the process is slow, we are dealing with these issues. For me, that's not enough. We need to be told exactly what are the problems, why can't these cases be finalized? Because people act with impunity, they don't care, precisely because there is no concomitant action. There is no consequence management. There is no accountability. We are not taking them on for the malfeasances which happen in the department. And for me, that is very, very much important. It has got to be dealt with. And we need that explanation. Why? And actually, we need you to say, to remind us, which are the cases that we presented before you in the past. This is how we have dealt with these cases, case by case, one by one. Because no one escapes accountability, especially when people allegedly stole the money that was meant for water. When we see people forming a lot of queues without water, looking for water, when the infrastructure in the townships and everywhere else is in a terrible state, that the sewer spillages, water spillages are all over the show, and that this money would have meant for these people to fix their lives, to improve their lives, and it has been stolen, and we are not told exactly this is how we have dealt with this case by case. What I've just heard here is not enough. It's just that we had a CEO of the Giani project. He has got taken the court to order review to ESM, to the CCMA or to the Labour Court or something like that. There were many, many cases in this department. This department was collapsing. Yes, I want you to respond to the issues that I raised. I will see whether I have got to make follow-ups on those issues. But for me, these are some of the important issues that I want the department to follow up, to deal with, and so on and so forth. As I pointed out earlier on, I've seen the minister working around the clock with the leadership of the Northwest Province in dealing with issues of water, whether it is in Bujanala, it is in Makwasi Hills, it is in Matlosama, it is in Ngakamudi Remolembe, they are all over. And that inspires confidence because we need innovative solutions to the problems that are affecting our people pertaining to water. And there is no justification at all that after such a long time, there are a lot of people who battle in the way that they battle. And again, there was a controversial issue, and this is across the country, of tankering, that people abuse water tankering, that people manipulate it, and people use it as an advantage, as a cash cow. And we need to know what systems are you putting in place as a department to ensure that that doesn't happen. Over to you, Deputy Minister and the team. Please respond to those issues.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, as DM indicated, that we should respond directly. Chairperson, let me first start and also apologize that we did not include in the presentation, as the chairperson has indicated, the issues around financial recovery resultant from the historic challenges that the chair has indicated now. Perhaps let me start, Chairperson, with the issues around unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and then I'll go to the other areas highlighted by the Chairperson that correctly there are issues which were problematic, which led to bankruptcy of the water trading entity at some point. Chairperson, the department has put together first measures to deal with the causes of this irregular expenditure. So we have developed training programs. I'm now talking to the issues around preventative measures that we have put in place. And I'll come to the status of the historic balances. So there is greater awareness, and that is also evident from the balances that have significantly reduced. We have been registering mostly recurrent contracts. And on the department, for example, we closed the previous financial year with the irregular expenditure of 9.4 billion. And on the water trading entity, it was 7 billion. We have managed to resolve some of the cases. We are dependent also on the condonation processes. That resulted in the department balance now being 9.2 billion. And then on the water training entity, there's 6.7 billion. The reason, Chairperson, why this takes long, the condonation processes, is the requirements that we have to comply with around condonation, mainly as Chairperson has indicated. We must conclude the investigation, assess and determine the loss that has been incurred. But most importantly, as indicated earlier on, the issues around consequence management. So when we submit our condonation applications to National Treasury, we have to comply with all those requirements. Then I will provide the summary of those significant cases that Chairperson spoke to that we previously reported to the committee. The one on the Guiani Water Service Project, the one that my colleague spoke to, that the matter is before the court, but also I can confirm that we have met with the Hawks. They've been visiting the department. They are still busy with the investigations. We have provided them with all the information that they've been requesting from the department. And the SIU as well is currently busy with some of the work. Another irregular expenditure, which we have reported previously also to the committee, had to do with the desalination plant at Richards Bay. And there I can confirm that, Chairperson, that the employee who was also implicated on this matter, there was a process and the official has been dismissed. It's one of the reports that we always provide to the portfolio committee. It's just we might have erred by not including this in the presentation. And then we also had issues that related to the subsystem where licenses were procured without following procedures. There as well, we had SIU, the department did its own investigations. We managed to recoup some of the funds together with the SIU and also the officials which are implicated. Those matters are with the police. From the department side, we have provided all the information. And on all leaks, Chairperson is also correct that all leaks is one of the projects that have caused serious challenges for the department in the past. The project, Chairperson, was supposed to take place in three phases, and we did confirm also to the SCOA that the department never budgeted for this commitment. So when we had this financial recovery plan, when we were presenting coming to the committee and also on advice of Parliament Ministry, at the time the minister took a decision that the program would end at phase two. So we had to stop the last phase of the project, but as indicated already, there was expenditure in cash, and the irregular expenditure that is on the books is 2.3 billion. And then Chairperson also spoke about overspending. Indeed, there is also a component of unauthorized expenditure related to war on leaks. We have been engaging with EWCTA, which was our implementing agent, and we also know our responsibility as the principal in this case, or the budget holder. So they have been working with the service provider, Chairperson. There was a mediation process. The service provider wasn't satisfied with the fact that the project was stopped at phase two. And the latest report that the department is having is that they are busy working on settlement proposals. And I can confirm as late as yesterday, we did have engagement with the colleagues at EWCTA, and we will be meeting with them together with the Director General to assess the work that they have done, where they've been negotiating with the service provider. Some of the issues, Chairperson, relate to the EWCTA, for example, having engaged on some of the phase three work in advance, which was not in line with the agreement that the department had with the implementing agent. So we should be able to provide feedback on this as soon as the mediation progress has advanced. We also had the bucket eradication, which also contributed to irregular expenditure as well as overspending of the budget in the previous financial year. That led to also unauthorized expenditure. Disciplinary proceedings were initiated, and my colleagues from Labor Relations are also in the meeting. Chairperson, I think they will be able to also update on the work that has been done from HR side. I can confirm as well that those amounts still remain uncondoned, because we have to finalize that leg of disciplinary proceedings on the bucket eradication. Another key irregular expenditure, Chairperson, related to the financial advisory services costs that were incurred, which Auditor General also included as part of the material irregularity, to us amounting to 17.9 million. With that case, Chairperson, again, the disciplinary proceedings were initiated, officials resigned, but we still had officials who were still in the public service, and I can confirm that the hearings has been managed through the new department where the official is. And then also our legal services are busy with the state attorney. The matter is also before a court. This is related to the civil litigation of the matter there. So this is the overview, Chairperson, of all those cases that we are having. In total, as I said, we have 9.2 billion now, as well as 6.7 on the water trading entity that we are working on the condonation. We have also added capacity to the forensic unit of the department, Chairperson, because we needed to comply thoroughly with the requirements for condonation. So they have added a number of forensic investigators who are helping us to make sure that we thoroughly investigate all the cases. And also I can indicate to the SCOPA Chairperson that the commitment we've made to the SCOPA is that by 31st March 2024, our undertaking is that we would have concluded with all the investigations as a department. And then we'll also make sure that there are follow-ups with the law enforcement agencies. Chairperson, also on the accruals and payables, as indicated by the Chairperson, it is true that previously on both accounts, there was over 2 billion on each account, which resembled overcommitment by the department, especially unfunded mandates. And over the years, we had to make arrangements with some of our implementing agents. I can confirm, for example, with Rainwater, that we had to enter into a repayment arrangement over the years, that as we have savings in the budget, we'll be able to settle their invoices. They were implementing their own leaks program with relation in relation to payment of stipends and evaluation of the learners. So we have managed as a person to pay the Rainwater on the own leaks program. However, some of the invoices were not paid because we want the whole process of investigation to be concluded before we release the last invoice. Overall, there is improvement in the management of accruals and payables. The preliminary figures that we will be submitting now for audit, Chairperson, I can confirm that we are now at 298 million on accruals and payables. Most of those are recent invoices that we have received when we're closing the financial year. And we continue to implement those financial recovery measures to make sure that we do not fall back to where we were years ago. And also on the bank overdraft, it is correct, there was a bank overdraft on both accounts. On the water trading entity, we did also, Chairperson, engage Treasury in those previous years when we were visiting the committee as well to account. And we had a turnaround plan. We managed to bring back the water trading entity to a positive balance. Then on the vote, Chairperson, we are currently having a favorable balance, but as Chairperson has indicated, we have unauthorized expenditures of the past. So the time we spend 100% of the approved appropriation, Chairperson, that unauthorized expenditure will reflect as overdraft on our books. So that is the only one that is remaining that it might create a problem. But I must also confirm my colleagues from Treasury have sent a request for information. They are processing this unauthorized expenditure through to Parliament. But we also have to make sure that we provide them, Chairperson, with all the information around consequence management. So we are maintaining favorable balances. The challenge on the water trading entity is more to do with the recoveries of the water sales debt from the various users, municipalities, and the company. I try to summarize, Chairperson, maybe if I can also, with your permission, request my colleagues if they would like to add around the matter of Lepelde Northern Water, perhaps to put it clearly and also to provide more information. CDG or legal services on the matter, I think there was a concern that we didn't adequately respond to that question on Lepelde Northern Water. Thank you.
CFO. I think the Chairperson was actually indicating that we did not clearly indicate on the matters of the disciplinary in the department. I just want to give you a feedback, Chairperson and the members. In the number of, in the past 5 years, we had 86 cases, of which 144 officials were charged. Out of those 86 cases, we have finalized the 66 cases, which involve 116 officials. The pending cases, which are 20 and involving 28 officials, bulk of them are in relation to the irregular and fruitless expenditure, and in which the CFO has indicated that until such time the processes has been exhausted, then those processes will then hand over to the disciplinary. We have 12 of those cases, and the officials that are involved are 20. And for the fraud matters cases, we have four cases which involve four officials. Three of them are on suspensions, and we have initiated the process of the disciplinary. The hearing are taking place next week of the three of them, and one of the official was dismissed last month on the 17th of April. And up to date from January up to now, we have four officials who have been dismissed. One is a senior manager who is a director. And in terms of those cases that we have finalized, Chairperson, as indicated, we have seven dismissals that we have initiated, and we had 12 officials that were suspended without pay. And then there are those who have given final written warning, six of them. And then we have eight of the officials that have been given the written warnings. I think on the issue of the recoveries as well, Chair, I want to indicate that we have a case whereby we have instituted a recovery to the amount of 27 million, which at this case it looks favorable to the department. The state attorney is attending to the matter in terms of starting with the process of the recovery. We are claiming that money from the company that have not rendered the services in the department, and we are claiming back the 27 million. And so far, we have also made some recoveries of about a million in terms of other issues. And the CFO has indicated in terms of the SEP matters that where we have recovered the monies from SEP and as well as UOH. When it comes to the issue of the SIU, we are working with the SIU collaboratively. We are having monthly meetings with the SIU so that we get feedback in terms of the cases that they are dealing with. There are a number of cases that the SIU is currently dealing with. We have the current case on the UOH as well, where SIU is making progress in that regard. We are expecting the disciplinary cases that will be prepared to us, to be referred to us as a department to implement. The estimated time for SIU to provide those referrals is 31st of May. There are 13 officials that are involved. Some have already left the department and some are still within the department, where we will then do the internal disciplinary cases. CFO has mentioned one case where we are following up with the other department where the official has been transferred to the department. The matter is sitting next month to conclude the matter of the investigation. And I think CFO has also indicated in terms of the capacity that we have provided to our internal audit in order to fast track the investigations that we are receiving through means of investigation, And we are also engaging with the SEP and also with the HOGS in terms of the cases that are on the criminal nature. I think, Chairperson, I'll end on that in terms of the disciplinary matters as well as investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks. My apologies, Chairperson. I think I missed two important questions. Let me start with the contingent liabilities and assets, and then there was also another one on understanding the residents. My apologies. The one on the contingent liabilities, Chairperson, I can still confirm that those claims against the department, the year-end balances sitting at 1.3 billion, those are the claims by various companies against the state, and our legal services is working with the state attorney. And then those claims that we have as a department against other individuals and companies are currently sitting at 3.9 billion. The main one being the Giani Water project, which is at 3.8 billion on our books. There's also accumulation of interest there. Then we have also the one that relates to the financial services advisor, the one that my colleague EDTG just indicated that we are following up with the other department. That civil litigation as well and sitting on our contingent assets at the amount of 18 million. Regarding the reasons for understanding, Chairperson, we had a number of challenges. Our projects, and we're not putting the blame on our implementing agents, our projects, almost all of them are implemented through the municipalities as well as the water board. So as we're going through this change and reforms and challenges that Chairperson also reflected on around these institutions, we had to deal with some of the contingent liabilities as well, where we have an asset, where there are claims against some of those municipalities, irregular contracts as well, which we have indicated in our financial recovery plan is one of our key deliverables to manage the exit out of those projects. And some of them required really thorough processes before we can again reappoint those municipalities. I will also give an example again of Mopani, the one for Giani. We had Lepele before implementing the project, which they're still concluding. But on the water services, you have to work with the municipality. So the whole idea of working and capacitating the municipality to the extent that we are able through the grants is one of the measures, Chairperson. So the reasons I would say is the supply chain management processes that we have throughout the value chain, irregular expenditure that has been incurred in most of the projects, skills that the honorable members also referred to earlier on. We do have municipalities where tenders would go out and then they are cancelled again. They have to restart again. So hence we have now came up with interventions of saying, let's work together with those municipalities so that we don't have this issue of saying it is the municipality. So currently we have, for example, our provincial heads, they have technical people who are appointed on some of the committees of those municipalities. And I think, Chairperson, the other reality is that as the organization is turning around now, you see even the issue of validation and measuring of work taking a little bit longer. Of course, we have to correct that. We cannot do that to the disadvantage of the communities by way of understanding. But just to close, Chairperson, that we note the points, and as I've indicated, our systems might have taken longer with the municipalities, but we managed to at least before the end of the financial year to turn around the corner. Hence, we're able to apply for rollovers. It's not the ideal route to go. We have to have systems that are responsive. And as indicated by the minister in his introductory words, we are not anticipating a repeat of those. Some of the challenges, without putting blame, the issue of procurement that had to do with the constitutional court matter, most of our implementing agents had to stop some of the tenders. But those are historical persons, and then once more, apologies, we should have reflected on the financial recovery status and progress to the SCOA, and we'll make sure that in future we do not exclude this component when we provide, when we account on these issues, Chairperson. Thank you.
No. Thank you. That is understandable, and I'm happy that you acknowledge that. We were raising all of this because we can't, under our watch, see the department collapsing again. A department that was at some point technically bankrupt, it had to rely on overdrafts from the banks. That is really unacceptable. But that being said, I can rest assure you that we are going to call you in the nearest future, very, very quick, to come and specifically deal with certain issues. For example, the president in the State of the Nation address, he told the country that the second phase of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project was to commence. The Mzimvubu project, the Mkomazi project, and all of those. And we need to follow them up. We want to help so that we monitor what is happening, what is progress, and there are no delays in terms of the implementation thereof. We will follow up that. Today you shared with us the fact that you are in the process of establishing an agency that deals with infrastructure, the water resource, the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. We would want to engage you on that so that we know what you're doing, whether you'll stick to the timelines that you have indicated. The historical problems, these are the things that we need to continue to finalize, especially as we ourselves are working towards the legacy report, because we are on the final leg of our term. We need to say, this is what we found out. This is what was happening in respect of the department. These are the interventions that we made. This is how we follow up on these issues. And this is where we are. And that includes even the cases that you mentioned here. It's quite clear that there are a lot, and I'm sure, I have no doubt in my mind that you are working around the clock to deal with them. But they need to be reported. You need to report to Parliament about all of those issues. With that, can I invite the Honourable Deputy Minister to have some closing remarks, as I think we have extensively dealt with the issues. We understand where the department is. We've raised the issues, the questions, and we need to move forward. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you so much, Honourable Dodovo. Truly appreciate your words. And I think that I speak also on behalf of the department that they are indeed appreciated, because the officials here, including the provincial heads, are very committed to the program. And what program I'm talking about? The one that priorities that indeed the minister has ensured that the department prioritize on. Firstly, improving water security through projects in the country, strengthening the I've got a problem, please. Having lots of meeting, Honourable Dodovo, you know, national NA is also sitting, so one would have logged in. Sorry about that. So strengthening the department through filling all of their vacancies, post on top management. An improvement of financial management, irregular expenditure, like you would have stressed. And this is part of what Minister is really stressing and making sure that the department is delivering on it. Reconfigurations of the water board, and the Department of Water also in the process of dealing with the under expenditure, like the CFO would have reported, the water services as well, not taking over water services from municipalities, but has really minister emphasized that the repositioning to enable the Department of Water and Sanitation to really intervene in the municipalities where services are dysfunctional, and the establishment, Honorable Dodogo, of the National Water Resource Agency is also at the helm of the priority, including improving of the processes as well, authorizations of 90 days in the WL, and the improvement of the revenue and billing through the water value chain in the collaboration with South. This has been really the interventions and the priorities that the minister has. But I would want to reflect a little bit, Honorable Dodogo. I think appreciative of all the members, the comments that they would have made in engaging with us. And I think I appreciate NCOP primarily because you deal with the provinces, so you are dealing with these issues and you've been immense and hard at work at it. But firstly, the methods of financial management for me on the report, it speaks to the unspent budget of that 856.624 million in the 22-23 financial year. So the underspending, the in compensation of employees and capital assets, there's a need for us really to improve the financial management and the oversight practices, and that's what we want to do. The DGs, the Director General has got in his own overview report, focuses really on increasing the private sector investment in the water sector. It's part of the intervention that the private sector should be involved. The reduction in under expenditure and measures to improve the procurement processes and the progress in infrastructure, in the infrastructure, corporate services, the water and sanitation services, water resource management and the regulation. Then on the water resource management as well, Honorable Dodogo said, our overview as well speaks to the resource management branch that is project, the progress on this plan for faster planning and processes are highlighted, including the highlighting of the Clan William Dam infrastructure and Kunji balancing dam project. And what we are seeing as well on this water sector sustainability challenges and opportunities, we feel that the challenge including the financial sustainability, the non-technical competencies, the compliances that we've seen with norms, infrastructure, the backlog, the governance and technical issues. Now, on the branch of corporate services, we are seeing that steps are taken to address the stakeholder concerns and promote both the safety measures. And I think, as honorable members, this is something that you might want to look into closely as you go to provinces, that the issue of infrastructure, you know, the disease now in our country where our infrastructure is open to other forces where they are stealing the infrastructure, breaking the infrastructure. So we really need you when it comes to this matter to ensure that we guard our infrastructure with the people on the ground. The media coverage, you are correct, Honorable Dr. Bowen, you say we need to communicate the good work that is coming out from this department and focusing on various also thematic areas that we need to do. So we would make sure that we strengthen the use of media products and advertising to reach really the audience. However, the department does have the communication unit that communicates daily, newspapers, the DG is always on radio station, each and every DG that is accountable for certain matter as and when it happens. But I think we need to strengthen that relationship with the unit of parliament so that in the select committee, the communication from our side also reaches this work that we are doing so that we also can be able to follow. The provincial entity governance and international cooperation, I think there's lots of update on the establishment of the catchment management agencies in different regions, and the governance status of water boards and entities is located there and is well accounted there as well. There's lots of work, Honorable Dodogo, that is coming out on the infrastructure management report, and I can tell you that the construction efficiency enhancement strategy of the Department of Water and Sanitation, the construction commission that focuses really on addressing the delays, the inefficiency and high cost that we're also seeing, because you know the industry keeps on the economy and the industry is able to construction industry is another industry, but the escalation and the pricing is something that we are focusing on. But part of the key areas for improving procurement, the project, the performance and plant management. So our accountability and performance based on procurement is quite important. So we're really paying attention to that, even from our MINESCO. These are such decisions that we have taken, including the introduction of performance agreement and financial management on the performance assessment. What you mentioned to say, there should be some consequences. So this is what we're really looking into and booking. The water supply project in South Africa, and there's an overview of projects, including progress on potential issues, matters of the appointment of Lower Sandes River Water Users Association, and plans for Zulgini and Makatini Flats and the canal. The Hartebees Port Dam as well is part of those projects that we're also looking into. The remediation implementation plan that focuses on the catchment remediation, the water quality improvement and recreational management. The plan also includes various activities such as water plan the removal of hyacinth there in Hartebees Port Dam, the water quality monitoring infrastructure revamping. This is what is happening. It's the plan that we have adopted, presented by the department, but Minister has been overseeing this work. So it's things that need to come to ourselves. So we really appreciate that you call us. The Magalies Water Board appointment is also as implementing agency that has been put there. The regulations section on the compliance and enforcement, there's a number of issues that honorable members raised today. The proposed amendments to the Water Services Act, the part that we want to make sure that we drive is the empowerment that the minister to enforce and compliance and strengthen national intervention, that we should be able to give the minister that power. The development of capacity for compliance monitoring and introduce uniform regulatory processes, the strengthening institutional capacity and governance of water services institutions. And this is where we're going to meet yourselves when we bring the amendment as soon as after it has passed cabinet. When it comes, we will need you to also be able to assist us so that we're able to empower and invoke necessary legislation. That way we don't have impediments. The licensing of water services providers, there's a huge concern over breaches, honorable members, and pollution in specific provinces that is highlighted. So the implementation of services improvement, SITs, that it aims to addressing these issues and ensure competent staff. The aim is also to improve the regulation, reliability, and sustainability of water services. So for myself, Honorable Dodovo, before I could just reach my conclusion, I want to say there's a number of work that a minister has been able to been doing. And you are correct, in the Northwest, there's lots of attention. It's a matter of fact, the minister has a task team there that he has led. We were in Northwest the last 2 weeks. He is working over the clock. In the Northwest, that task team is comprised of the Premier, the MEC of COCTA, all the mayors of the affected municipalities that were working to a plan. And our DPG, Raf Maji, who's responsible for the infrastructure, is a driving force in that type of task teams. And this is not the only task team, but it seeks to ensure that there is compliance and methods of procurement where municipality capacity has been realized that at times it can be lack, but also we want to deal with the issue of corruption. So we ensure we tighten the systems that these projects that are coming out are not open to this corruption that we would have seen, and you're correctly so. This department has been matched with this corruption, and what Minister Mkhunu has done is able to shift, and with DM Masobo at this point and the last DM Matati.
to ensure that municipalities they are empowered. And part of the mandate of this department is to check, it's even overstretching the mandate of this department. But because we realize that we can't be able to give our people water if the municipalities are under dilapidated, the systems are not there, there's lots of challenges. So this department has taken it upon themselves to ensure that they do respond. So one will be Northwest, Honorable Tutoko. I hope to see you there when I'm in your municipality, because the minister has allocated myself to see the implementation of this project. But there's a number of projects, the task team of housing is there in KZN, the big five, the water is running now. As you can see, Margin Water is Minister Tunus, the flagship, the project, and what he really wants to see. Maybe lastly, Honorable Tutoko, the political situation, I think, on the ground as well, requires yourselves as honorable members from any other party at this point, because the issue of water is a basic human right. It needs yourself to make sure that you achieve us to be able to unlock, so we don't have issues on the ground where you've got the business forums, the protests when infrastructure programs are coming and people fighting for all these things. So we're really going to need your assistance as well, and to make sure there's a social contact that we need, it's really strengthened. I welcome all the proposal legislation amendments that have been done, the concerns over repetitive breaches in the Eastern Cape province noted, the support for service improvement plans, but emphasize for myself the clear timelines that we need for compliance and addressing material. I think Honorable Dostovu from the branch of mental saying that map out the cases presented in the past, how they've been dealt with, I think it's very important that we need to account. So I would strongly suggest that we also provide that information as you requested. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable PM. That brings us to the end of this meeting. What is going to happen going forward is that we are going to look at this report, adopt it or not, but I think we'll adopt it, and thereafter submit it to Parliament for the debate that will be scheduled on a specific date that will be communicated. I think it's out, it's just that I don't have the date with me. Yes. Sorry?
Jay, yes, it's on the 7th of June.
Oh, 7th of June, wonderful, wonderful, yes. The debate on this vote will be on the 7th of June. That concludes our meeting.
Jay?
Thank you very much. Okay. Honorable Smith?
Yes, I just wanted to thank the Deputy Minister for giving us a second presentation instead of closing remarks.
No, don't worry. Thank you very much. All of you attended, including the Deputy Minister and the Minister in absentia. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.